or is it a state of mind?
Today's the 28th.
Yeah.
Never forget.
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty, Wednesday, of course. Darren Weeks is with you on Monday and Tuesday on Sweet Liberty, and Alan Watt and myself on Wednesdays. Today is the 28th of June in the year 2006. And this is a saying from our spiritual message, The Course in Miracles, from the text. Says your holy mind establishes everything that happens to you. Every response you make to everything you perceive is up to you, because your mind determines your perception of it. Alan, thanks for being here tonight with us.
It's a pleasure on a rainy day.
On a rainy day, yeah. Well, it hasn't rained today. It's been very muggy.
Uh-huh.
But oh my gosh, let me put it this way. I thought about this last evening, as a matter of fact, because yesterday it poured off and on all day, but it was just torrential. And I thought, because I don't have my garden in.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know what, if I had planted a garden, it would all be flooded now.
Yeah.
And the reason I wasn't able to, of course, was because of my hand.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't get it. We had two beautiful weeks in May, and I thought about this, Alan. Dry, hot, and not humid.
Yeah.
And so all of your winter thaw was dried up, and the farmers were out there tilling the fields and getting their crops in. People got their gardens in, and 2 weeks later it started raining.
Yeah.
And it's never really been dry enough since.
Mm-hmm.
And the man that he's a neighbor down the road. He had some corn planted across the road, and he stopped by today and said that his whole crop is flooded out.
Yeah.
The whole crop. And I thought to myself, well, now, you know, we don't know any time it's coincidence. We don't ever know anymore if any weather is, quote, natural weather.
Yeah.
But that is, doesn't it sound like something that would be done intentionally?
Well, we know they've already been doing it intentionally in the past, and have given the farming areas drought for years and then floods. And even today, amongst the thunderstorms and the rain, as when the clouds were breaking up, you could see them still spraying between the clouds. So they're really going at it.
Yeah, it's as a matter of fact, it hasn't rained all day here,
uh-huh.
And it's raining right now, Alan.
Yeah.
Their signature.
It's their signature. And the mosquitoes are chewing away there, you know.
Yeah.
Because they just love this weather.
Well, what they love is the control over the lives of people, Alan.
I know.
And, you know, before this, just as you called me before we went on the air and we were talking about how fast time goes,
mm-hmm.
And I had mentioned to you that, I just thought we would chat about this for a minute because I'd like your thoughts on it. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Did you change phones?
No.
Oh, okay. My headset might go out on me, and I'll have to go on the other phone. I wonder if something cosmically is going on that has speeded up our perception of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I read someplace, I don't remember where it was, or somebody told me this, that today a 24 hours is equivalent to what 16 hours used to be.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what are your thoughts on that?
It's difficult to say, although we do know that in different times in history, see, the Earth doesn't go around the Sun in a definite circle. It's more oval-shaped anyway. And it doesn't go in exactly the same path year after year. There's variation. And we know at different times down through the centuries, they've had warming periods and cooling periods. And even in the Middle Ages, they didn't bother building chimneys at one point for 200 years because they didn't need fires inside the houses. And then it was followed by another cooling period and back in with the chimneys. So this happens up and down.
But it's a long, slow process, isn't it?
Yeah, it comes on gradually.
Yes.
Over, you know, over 50, 100 years.
Yeah.
and then it might last 200 and then go back to the opposite again. So this does definitely happen. And of course, time itself is judged by matter moving in space. That's what time is.
Right.
And so it does make sense in a sense.
In a sense?
that since everything else supposedly bends in space, even light bends, and then it's possible that even time could bend itself.
Uh-huh.
You know, these are all theories that are always getting banged around. I'm sure at the very top level they understand it, as opposed to the bottom level matrix where they give us theories.
Yeah, well, I know it isn't just me.
Yeah.
Because everybody I talk to has the same thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
They just cannot believe how fast time is flying.
Yeah.
A day is gone before. I don't know. It's just it is kind of a weird feeling, isn't it, Alan?
Again, too, it's also we're talking once before about the psychotronic weaponry they do admit they have, and that Brzezinski wrote about in Between Two Ages.
Uh huh.
One of the effects of the constant bombardment of the heart type technologies. Is to affect your mood, your emotion, and it's very possible that if they put you into a certain frame of mind, time would seem to fly by.
I see.
That is true.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So we, if anything is happening, I'd probably think, first of all, that science is doing it.
Well, I do too.
Yeah.
I don't see anything today that would be what we would call natural.
Yeah.
Even if it is, I don't know it, because I see that nothing is, Alan.
Yeah, I know. Uh-huh.
That's the way my own perception has become.
Yeah. Yeah, I was reading now they're putting in genetically modified plum trees. And then from these modified plum trees, they're going to bring out a new type of sweetener that will take over from the existing ones.
A new sweet plum?
I guess so. But it's a modified one.
Sure.
And I'm sure everything that we eat modifies us. That's probably the main objective. We're being heavily re-engineered, and we have been for quite some time.
Do you ever buy oranges at the grocery store?
I've done it, and it don't taste like oranges.
They don't take like and tangerines?
Yeah.
I can remember tangerines when you used to go to peel it. If you get your nail in there, and the skin would just fall off.
Mm-hmm.
And your tangerine would come apart in those little sections.
Yeah.
Even what they call tangerines today, they don't peel like that. They peel like an orange, more like an orange.
Yeah.
They don't taste like I think we've forgotten what food tastes like, Alan.
It's the insidiousness of it all. And I know, I mean, they admitted a few years ago in the newspapers that even all the coffee's modified, all the coffee beans and
aww.
And it was that the growers were forced to do it by the purchasers. They made them a changeover, or they wouldn't buy from them. So it makes you wonder why that was a priority for the purchasers to push this stuff on all the buy or mm-hmm. all the producers. What's the real effect of all this modified stuff on us?
I read an article. I do not know if this article is for real. I would like to find the source of it.
Yeah.
Talking about, you know, the technology in that. It said that they did a test, and that two cell phones were, one cell phone called the other,
uh-huh.
and then they laid them down and put an egg in the middle.
Oh.
Did you read that, Alan?
No.
Within an hour, the egg was cooked.
I don't know.
Yeah, see, I don't know either.
I doubt that. If it was that obvious, they wouldn't give it to us. Whatever they do doesn't have to be so immediately obvious.
Mm-hmm.
So they wouldn't be that crazy. You know, I'm sure they'd do it if they could get away with it, mind you.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, but certainly the long-term use of the cell phone, I am sure, has effects on people.
Simply because of the waves from the transmitters, the towers coming right in.
It's in that frequency, that infrared, as in with the microwave type frequency range.
There you go. Well, microwaves can cook eggs.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know what? I guess it would be pretty easy for somebody to do that test themselves, wouldn't it?
It certainly would, if it's only got two phones. I guess that's an addict, that's one for each ear. The one you hear in stereo.
Our two friends, everybody has. I was talking to Amber before you called me.
Yeah.
And she was, you know, talking about her cell phone, and I said, Amber, do you know that there have been articles written and allegedly that these are medical, medically proven that that cell phones can cause brain tumors.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how does it do that, Mo? And I said, well, I explained what I understood. I said the towers that the signal comes from is being received by the phone, and it's going right into your head because the phone is right next to your ear. And then she says, well, everybody has to have a cell phone, Momo.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Uh-huh, yeah.
God love her. God, oh.
See, geez. That's the problem. They bypass the older ones and go straight to the children because the children believe that the big Zay up there that seems to decide everything would never do anything to harm us. That they truly believe that.
Yeah.
They really believe that.
Well, and then we have parents who, I could see it. If it was totally, absolutely only used for an emergency.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the phones they use.
I know. And of course, they put more and more gadgetry on it for the youngsters to be attracted even more to it. And actually, it's a stepping stone towards monitoring wherever you go. They admit they're used for that already.
Well, my Alan.
And it's a stepping stone from computer to that, to the Blueberry one, where it does the internet and everything, to a chip in your body. That's the whole training us step by step to the final end.
And yes, I mean, if they can do it with the global positioning with the cars, very possibly. Now, there are cell phones that you can purchase.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to give name, address, or anything.
Yeah.
And then you can buy time.
Mm-hmm.
And have them recharged, so much for so many minutes.
Uh-huh.
Now that would be something. They might know where that phone is, but they don't know who the heck has it.
Oh, yeah, they do.
How?
Because they have every person who's ever used a phone, they have their voice print.
Oh, okay.
They've had that for years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hadn't thought of that one.
Every single individual's got a voice print already recorded.
Synthesize their voices.
Uh-huh.
One night, our listeners may think they're listening to Alan and Jackie, and they're listening to whatever.
Yeah.
Synthesizing the voice.
Uh-huh. Yeah, see, we're really living in the past all the time, because the whole object of having power is keeping power, and you keep power by never sharing all the latest with the public.
Right.
In fact, you train the public to believe that they're on the cutting edge all the time, and whatever is new in the store is the utter latest of its kind.
Or they'll say, within 2 years, we ought to have this perfected.
That's right.
When, in fact, they're using it on us already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they were using solid-state circuitry, microcircuitry, back in the 40s and 50s, before we even heard of a transistor.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, talking about the weather, well, we were. Mm-hmm. I wanted to let our listeners know that I did. I was able to send those articles over to Darren, and he's got them posted.
Uh-huh.
I thought they were important because in 1974, I did mention this last week, I believe, Time Magazine had an article in there called A New Ice Age.
Uh-huh.
And they said that the planet had been cooling for the past several decades,
mm-hmm.
and they did say too that I believe they said it in this, that it is a slow process, but that it looks like we're going into a new ice age.
Yeah.
Well, then here we are in 2006, mm-hmm. and both of those articles are posted so people can see them with their own eyes. In 2006, be worried, be very worried.
Yeah.
And in that one, the author said, well, it used to be thought that, that global changes happen very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
But suddenly, this one is on us.
Yeah.
It's on us right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I realized how we can cut back in greenhouse gases, though.
Quit eating beans?
No, we can do that, too. But what we could also do is for every good citizen of the planet, you see, because we're all global citizens now.
Yeah.
We can only breathe half as much as we normally do.
Okay.
And that way you're not putting so much carbon dioxide out. And you could tax joggers and people like that more.
Well, sure, for using up more oxygen.
That's right, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So we should all practice just holding our breath, you see. And eventually we can use half as much air.
Excuse me. Betty Mills told me this. Betty usually didn't, I never know of her saying anything that she couldn't back up.
Uh-huh.
It was in a phone conversation, though, but she said it was the Rothschilds that were cutting down the rainforest.
Uh-huh.
And when you think about it, of course, they're behind the environmentalist movement, too,
mm-hmm.
Becoming their own opposition to cutting of the rainforest. But think about the loss of oxygen, Alan.
Yeah.
Because the trees give out, what do they give out?
Well, they give out oxygen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And take in the carbon dioxide.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's a lot of trees, Alan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, a lot of it's overblown as well. It truly is.
Well, a lot of what?
The propaganda we're given to make us believe things.
Like that they're cutting down the rainforest?
Yeah, and clearing it all, yada, yada, yada. Because, I mean, if you come into Canada, for instance, just go north of Toronto, and once you get past the farming lands, you're going to see nothing but forest for hundreds of miles in all directions. And they do timber it. They don't clear cut the timber though. And you know, there's plenty of trees and so on. They're always getting us panicking about something or other. And that doesn't mean that they've never clear cut in the past. They'll always show you the same pictures over and over to give you the youngsters the wrong point of view.
Okay, to get them to be environmentalists.
Yeah, I've seen the same scene of a clear cut of used for donkeys years of one place in BC. You know.
Clear cut used for donkeys.
No, for donkey's ears. Yeah.
Oh, for donkey's ears. Oh,
yeah, donkey's ears.
Okay.
And yeah, they keep showing you the same one over and over and over, and all the propaganda talks that they have.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it's definitely overblown, because they're always creating crises. Most crises are not based on fact.
Well,
like the bird flu.
And then they get people. Sending money to save the rainforest.
I know,
Alan.
A lot of people fell for that.
Well, I've fallen for almost all of them.
Uh-huh.
I adopted little the tortoises.
Uh-huh.
And what else did I adopt? Something else, because they were becoming endangered.
Mm-hmm.
I sent a donation, Alan, when they were refurbishing the gift that we got from the Grand Orient Lodge.
Uh-huh.
The Statue of Liberty.
Oh, yeah.
I sent a $50 donation because I thought it was so cool that they were doing that.
Yeah. A lot of brasso, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But no, they've always got us doing something, and we're always at the bottom of the ladder in the knowledge field.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always a scam going on somewhere. And if nothing else, they're scamming our mind as well as our wallet. But it's primarily the mind. They rob us of our mind, you see.
Yes.
To come to any factual conclusion, you must be supplied with all facts. We never are. We never are.
Right. You know something, this thought just popped into my mind. I was just like, I wasn't just like everybody else. I never have been.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't go along with the crowd. I didn't go along with styles, but I believed in all this stuff. I told you this. I've said it on the air. I was so wrapped up in their lies. Well, you know, like adopting little turtles and having people call their U.S. congressman to stop a terrible bill and all of this stuff. And suddenly, it's almost like when I did wake up, it was like with a bang.
Uh-huh.
And I wonder if maybe that I went through this so that I can relate
mm-hmm.
To people who are there.
Yeah.
Where I was, I can relate to it, Alan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, that there are so many ways of viewing reality. And it all depends on how you've been indoctrinated by the establishment. They give you a version of reality. That's why people can't fathom out that anything would be done to them to hurt them. If they've swallowed their 6 o'clock news reality and their education reality, and they can never figure it out, that the big boys have all contingencies planned for themselves,
mm-hmm.
because number one, they must always save themselves if there was something real. They have underground places they could live for centuries, probably, if they did anything on top of the planet. They have arcs, and it's been on television from the World Wildlife Fund. They have these big places they call arcs, where they have the seed of the planet. They have the genes of every single animal and insect you can imagine and plant stored, and they call them arcs. And one of them's in Louisiana. And they're huge cryogenic facilities, and they're successfully, on the public broadcasting program I watched, they've successfully implanted them,
uh-huh.
Different species of animals, after being cryogenically frozen, at least their sperm in the ovum, and implanted them in other animals and brought them to term. So they can make anything reappear on this planet
yeah.
they wish to.
Do you suppose maybe the story of Noah's Ark was this a story of the same? I mean, really, when you think about it,
yeah.
an ark that was big enough for two of every single animal on the planet,
mm-hmm.
and you had to feed them, and you had to get rid of their...
The musk, yeah.
Their, yes.
Well, that's why Noah, the first thing he did when he hit land was to grow a vineyard and get drunk. Yeah. He needed a break from all that.
Well, if I'm not mistaken,
mm-hmm.
I think that Jehovah...
Uh-huh.
was smelled the sweet savor of cooking meat
uh-huh.
and was glad that...
Well, it got me too. I mean, how did they sacrifice if they only had two of everything? Because if you sacrifice anything, you only have one left.
That's... Well, maybe they took enough for the sacrifices.
Well, I guess they must have. Yeah. But yeah, I tell you, it's such a...
Do you think that was an... I mean, we know the story. It has to be an allegory, but
uh-huh.
do you think that would be a possibility that this same thing happened another time and that they already had that technology and they...
Well, I don't know about that technology or that far. We don't know. There's a lot of modern books more into the fiction than reality. However, we do know that peoples in past times have had safe places where they have stored grain and food and stuff like that in mountains. We know that the Sumerians came from the highlands, and even the grain that they planted was brought from the highlands. It was much older, and so they brought that with them too. And so most ancient peoples have records of catastrophes and surviving,
mm-hmm.
and having these store places for food, etc. That's definitely been done before. However, this thing with the arcs, now that's just the World Wildlife Fund that's headed by Prince Philip, and the facility in Louisiana was a multi-million-dollar facility, and run by a professor who also teaches at a university there. So these are not little. These are serious things, and I wouldn't be surprised if the space station, the International Space Station, ISS, or ISIS, I wouldn't be surprised if that's another arc.
Oh, okay.
I mean, see, you can get most of the stuff for the planet in a huge deep freeze. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you could, couldn't you, if it was DNA?
And it sure saves, you know, mucking out the buyer type thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's no mucking out doing there.
So what have you been up to?
Oh, just trying to survive, basically, and get done what has to be done out between just living and cooking and on the phone to people, talking to people. Just getting by, really. Just getting by.
Yeah. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cooking.
Mm-hmm.
It does take up a lot of your time.
Yeah.
And you have to eat.
Yeah, the basics, yeah.
And then you have the mess you made, and that has to be cleaned up.
Yeah.
And I thought about that. I thought, if you had all the time you spent, you know, preparing your meals, mm-hmm. you'd have more time to do stuff.
Yeah. Well, they'll do that for us eventually. We'll be like 7 of 9. When we're all one, you see, we're all linked to the one computer. You're just going to a cubicle at night, and you'll get fed intravenously and programmed for the next day's task.
Mm-hmm.
And so we won't have to go through all of this. That's what they've got planned.
You know that for sure? I mean, you've actually read this?
Well, that's what the brain chip's all about. That's what the Loyola meetings were all about, the worldwide meetings they held at university, was about that very topic.
We get an injection in place of meals?
Oh, yeah. I mean, ultimately, you'll run on what you will see as total efficiency. And at the moment, according to the big boys, we're just too inefficient, and they must make us evolve, you see. The great leap forward is to be done scientifically. It always was to be done scientifically. And that's what they mean by that. They'll make us far more efficient as creatures, or servants, you might say. And that's what they have in store. They have a brain chip eventually for all we're doing is being trained step by step to the next step until, well, what's the big deal if you put a chip in your head and you can see a movie in your optic centers, you know, inside your head? That's where it's all to go. That's not the real reason to give it to you. That's the bait to get you to take it. But eventually you'll just get fed intravenously.
Well, they could give you enough calories, and would the body be so?
I was going to.
Okay, so in other words, the body would be so modified by that time,
yeah.
if it ever happened.
Oh, it's going to happen. I mean, all
come on, Alan.
The science magazines for the last 20 years have had articles out on the different kinds of humans that they can make if they want to right now.
I know that, but yeah. we don't. Just because it's what they intend and it's what they're planning,
uh-huh.
and that it looks like they're so infallible,
mm-hmm.
but we don't know that it's going to happen.
Right now, there's nothing to stop them. In fact, the children who are maybe 5, 6 right now, or 10 even, wouldn't mind if they could become like the heroes in their comic books or their movies.
Well, if it's for sure going to happen, why are we wasting time talking about it and putting up websites?
It's a counterforce, because at least there's people hear what we're saying.
And?
If people don't speak out and point out what should be obvious to people, then the people won't know to tell their children.
But if you are convinced that it is going to happen,
uh-huh.
let me tell you something, Alan. If I was convinced it was going to happen,
uh-huh.
I wouldn't be doing this radio broadcast.
Yeah. See, they've already got a guy with a brain chip in Britain, that Professor Warwick.
Yes.
And now, whether he's really got it, I don't know. I don't know if it's a PR stunt
uh-huh.
to get us used to the idea or what, you know. But I know that back in the 50s and 60s, they were doing it with animals, the same thing.
Is this the guy that walks into his office and the computer turns on? And
I think so.
He gets instead of having to put a print or something to open the door, the door's open for him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Initially, I think he had one in his arm. But now, supposedly, he's got one in his brain. You know.
Oh, yeah, I think that's when I read it. He had one in his arm.
Uh-huh.
Alan,
mm-hmm.
now you said there's nothing to stop them.
Uh-huh.
It is going to happen. Now, we're going to have
to stop them.
But wait, whoa. We're going to have to take a break here.
Yeah.
And I'd like you to tell me, when we get back on the other side, why you're doing everything you're doing.
I just told you, because someone has to tell them the other side of the story.
Why, if it's going to happen?
A lot of people won't go for this. Just like they've gone for the cell phone, you can't stop them. You can't stop them.
Oh, in other words, you're not saying it's going to happen.
I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings, and to his kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation, under heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
If you read the history books, the most often asked question to Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War from the Old Pass Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free? Or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. Get this DVD presentation for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Call 559-781-3773. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
All right, I guess we're back.
Huh?
Alan?
Yeah.
So when you say it's going to happen, there's nothing we can do to stop it.
You can't stop it.
You don't.
Stop people going ahead.
But you're, in other words, you're not saying it's going to be a global thing and that nobody will escape it.
That's right. I mean, eventually there are people who hang out against everything. And then it comes the final thing. They don't like forcing people to do things. They prefer to make it impossible for you not to.
For you not to. Mm-hmm.
That's how they get around things. But already, I mean, the biggest fad in the world right now is for the cashless chips to get inserted in youngsters' arms. And they started that. This first started, I think, in Holland for nightclubs. So you get a prepaid amount of money wiped into this chip that's implanted in your arm and you get into this really hot club, you know. Now they've got one in Spain opening. It's opened up. They're doing the same there.
Where's that?
In Spain now.
Okay.
And the company that's doing it is based, I think, in California. And the guy who happens to be the head of this company that's getting all the youngsters and using sex is, you know, this old hormonal drive again. If you want the hottest places to meet the opposite sex, you must go to these big clubs, the hottest clubs out.
And you can't get into the clubs without the chip?
That's right. Uh-huh. Yeah. And so you can just charge the chip with so many dollars, and you don't have to pay money for a drink. It's deducted automatically from your chip.
They would scan you, in other words.
Uh-huh. And this is a big trend. And the guy who is out promoting this just happens, listen to this, be an ex-member of the NSA. What a coincidence.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have a revolving door anyway, we know that.
Uh-huh.
They go from one
Yeah, well, he's still working for the NSA.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the NSA, they want everybody chipped.
Right.
That's the bottom line. And so here, all you do is dress it up, make it sexy, and youngsters go for it because they're driven by hormones and not their head.
I think it would be very good if, when you're on, you know, programs, that if you say something like that, that you would qualify it, because the way it's said, you know, it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's real nonchalant, and there's nothing to stop them.
Mm-hmm.
I just, Alan.
Yeah, you got to accept that never in this world has the whole population of the planet said no about anything. It's never happened.
I understand,
before.
But what I'm saying is, I don't think it's your intention.
Mm-hmm.
To put people in a mindset of just hopelessness.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if you're aware of how people hang on your words. They listen to you,
mm-hmm.
and they take you very seriously.
Yeah, but they do know this, you know, that this is the next step. The thinkers already know this. They already know.
I don't
this.
Think you're getting what I'm saying, though.
I do hear you, yeah. But the thing is, the thinkers already know it, and I think the thinkers already know that I'm not saying this is going to be inevitable for everybody. Now, it might come to the time when they try and pass it all by law, you know. That might happen. I don't know. They'd prefer it not, though. And right now it's promoted through all their movies. You can't watch a sci-fi movie now without seeing all the stuff in it. And that's what they said at Loyola, that they would promote it through movies, cartoons, novels, you know, and make this an exciting thing to have. So you're in a world where most parents don't even communicate to their children.
I know.
In fact, the parents would be, you know, shocked if they found out what even the children are being taught at school.
Maybe, maybe
because
not.
Because they get taught about this kind of stuff. In the coming scientific age, etc.
Yeah.
So that's your big problem. The parents have already a lot. In fact, the parents are just they just pay for the upkeep of the children. And like Bertrand Russell said, he said the state will indoctrinate them. So you get the state and the media in cahoots, and they sure do get indoctrinated well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess if I thought that it was inevitable, I would spend my time doing the things that I like to do.
Yeah.
You know, I would start taking tap lessons again, and
mm-hmm.
I'd start painting, and
yeah.
I would totally spend the time in pleasantries.
Mm-hmm.
And I, in my mind, knowing that with God, Creator, all things are possible. And you've said it yourself, they've never, ever succeeded.
Yeah.
And they're not going to this time. Doesn't mean there isn't going to be a lot of bloodshed and a lot of, you know, all of what we've talked about going on.
Mm-hmm.
But for them to be successful,
yeah.
I doubt it.
Well, to be successful, they've got to get...
Everyone.
Well, they've got to get at least 65% of the public to agree with them or to go along with it.
Well, thank you for that.
You know, and that's generally what they've always... They can pretty well always... In all polls that are taken, it's always the same percentage, really, you'll find that go along with anything just to get along.
Mm-hmm. I remember...
So you can always count on those people.
When we talked about... There's two things that made me think of Brave New World...
Uh-huh.
No, excuse me, 1984.
Yeah.
George Orwell's book.
Mm-hmm.
When I said it one time to you, I said, the one thing I didn't understand in that book is why they went to all the trouble
uh-huh.
to torture and torture and torture Winston Smith
mm-hmm.
until he finally said, yes, I
yeah.
see it, and yes, I love Big Brother, and then kill him.
Yeah.
And you said, because if there's one holdout,
mm-hmm.
they're not successful.
If there's one holdout, it's a flaw in their whole belief system.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
That's another way of looking at it, isn't it?
Oh, it is. There's no doubt with this bunch that are in power that do think they're gods. They won't be happy till everything bends. That's a fact. And one person standing up or turning their back on them is enough to set them off in a rage.
Yeah. Well,
you see, it's interesting. You see, that people have always sought for a god, always done through the ages. And because the individual has a natural, it's like Carl Jung said, he said, you can't weigh this fact or feel it or see it or touch it or quantify it in any regular scientific way, but because everybody, all down through the ages, has occasionally felt there's something else beyond all of this. You know?
Yes.
But then, of course, they gave you the priesthoods to use that need and control you with your own need, you see. So that's always been there. So when you take away all deities, all of that, even the old deities that served them well, the controllers, that inclination is still there. That's why they gave the New Age for the New Agers, for
right.
the Age of Aquarius. They gave it to them.
Right.
And all this oneness stuff. And there will be one if they all want to get hooked up to the same computer. Good luck to them, you know. But this craving or need to know there's something else beyond you, if they can destroy that connection, then there's nothing between you and them as gods.
Right.
And they always said that they would make the state god. They always, even communists said that. They'd eradicate all the deities and make themselves god over the people. And that's still what they want to do worldwide, same thing. Yeah. And so for them to be worshipped as gods.
So those in the state are mini-gods, huh?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that's what they want. Eventually down the road, they want an obedient population. They will obey the white-coated scientists, the new priesthood, and just do what they're told when these white-coated scientists speak and order them about. That's what they're really after. Yeah. And it's so interesting that science is so close to seance.
Oh, put people in a trance?
Well, it is interesting that there are all these big... high chutzpahs in the religions. I'm talking about the esoteric ones at the top. They're all into channeling.
Uh-huh.
And you look at the supposed knowledge that's come through channeling. It's all scientific stuff. It's all to do with science. And a lot of the so-called famous scientists were into this. Even going back to the 1500s. So there's something to this. Where does knowledge come from? Where does knowledge, and sometimes even thought, where does it come from? They've never been able to pinpoint in the brain how you are you, what makes you you, as an individual. They know if they can damage a part of the brain, you can't move this or you can't move that, or even your ability to speak in a motor sense will malfunction. But they can't pinpoint the ghost in the machine.
The ghost in the machine.
Yeah. And so that's been a big debate as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it also makes you wonder, where did these guys get their thoughts from? What motivates them?
Well, you know, you've said before, and I could not argue with this, even in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're human.
Whatever's in them isn't human.
Right, exactly.
There's no doubt about that. It's
exactly.
Anti-human. It's elitist to an insane degree. It's psychopathic, no doubt whatsoever, no empathy. And so sure enough, from all those aspects, whatever's in them is not human.
Well,
yeah.
And maybe we've talked about this on the air, I guess. It wouldn't hurt repeating, but when we, first of all, the sense of or feeling of compassion,
mm-hmm.
but when we are emotionless,
yeah.
the emotions are what makes us human, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Without emotion,
yeah.
they have no energy, and I've thought about this, and maybe it sounds left field or La La Land or whatever. Well, I said it a long time ago, but I really didn't feel it and see it the way that I do today, that what drives the machine, what drives the plan,
yeah,
is the energy that they can initiate.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, anything negative, anything that isn't of love, and that would be, you know, compassion and kindness and consideration, et cetera, et cetera. But anything that isn't of that,
mm-hmm,
is fear. But the negative, it's the negative energy, and I believe that they use the negativity, the negative energy that they can initiate in people. I believe that that's what's driving the whole plan, Alan.
It's an, what it is, it's an alchemical process.
Say, okay.
That's what they call it in the high esoteric circles.
Okay, well then expand on that, please.
It's taking, the earliest form of control was initiated through abuse and the outcome of abuse.
Uh-huh.
And so horror, fear, worry, terror can be exploited to a neurotic degree until you have a Pavlovian system. You change that which is natural into the unnatural system. And that's the alchemical process. And there's so many ways that they couch this of bringing heaven to earth, or the union of the sun and the moon. That's the old Rosicrucian union of the hermaphrodite too. As above, so below. It's even in the New Testament written carefully in there.
Where it says man and male and female made he them?
No, it's written in the New Testament.
Oh, the New Testament.
It's in there too, where they talk about what you loose in heaven, you also loose in earth, and vice versa. That's a spell, you know. And these are all alchemical processes of loosening the higher powers into the earth or onto the earth, but controlled through the few who understand the process. Now, this is what they used to call high magic at one time.
Alchemical, A-L?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, the bottom degrees of all these esoteric groups still maintain, because they don't know the truth at the bottom, they still maintain that it's a self-improvement thing where you arise up Jacob's ladder to heaven by self-improvement. They don't realize that it's much bigger than that. It's literally a form of bringing the seeding powers of Lucifer, if you understand what that means. And again, in the esoteric tradition, it's looting that within society through the chosen ones that the higher initiates.
The excuse me, the power of Lucifer,
uh-huh,
if you understand what that means.
Yeah.
Well, would you explain what you understand it to mean, please?
Well, Lucifer to them is an intelligence, a great phenomenal intelligence that manifests itself through logic and science, basically. Logic, science, what used to be called magic, this was just advanced science. And that only the wise ones with the higher capacity intellects could access it and be used by it successfully. And so, of course, that's what they mean. That's what Albert Pike said in his Morals and Dogma, when they have the seeding powers of Lucifer.
And the what powers?
Seeding.
Seeding?
Uh-huh.
T-H?
Yeah, like a seeding sea.
A seeding sea. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And that's what it means by that. And even in Catholicism, you'll find that Satan and Lucifer were not one and the same entity.
Uh-huh.
They were two different entities or beings. Because the whole story is the esoteric tradition of the occult. The whole Old Testament is. And unfortunately, so is the New.
So, when you said Jehovah is Lucifer,
mm-hmm,
are you talking about the...
No, Jehovah, and actually in the high esoteric, is the god of the world... or the demiurges, which the Greeks call them. In other words, although they respect the god of the world and the natural laws, it's their job to overcome those laws through science.
Uh-huh.
And so they always give great respect to Jehovah for having the natural laws for a primitive people, by the way. That's why it's written in there in the New Testament, you follow the laws of Moses, because you were base then, you were made primitive. And I give you the new covenant. So this is an ongoing tradition of esoteric religion going back for many thousands of years.
Thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, maybe millions.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I just wonder if this whole thing reaches to a certain point at a certain time,
uh-huh.
and then it starts all over again.
Mm-hmm. Well, they always talk about their 1,000 years of peace until again.
Lucifer gets loosed for 7 years.
Yeah.
What does that? What would be the interpretation of that?
It means that it's a form of utopia. Now, when they talk about utopia, remember, it's their utopia,
yes,
their plan they're talking about.
Yes.
It's a hell on earth for everyone else.
Well, not really a hell on earth, because they're so zoned out.
Mm-hmm.
They're gone, Alan.
Yeah, but well, from their point of view, remember, there's two ways of looking at everything they give you.
Mm-hmm.
And so they see it from their point of view. They'll have their 1,000 years of peace.
The peace for them, yes.
Yeah.
But when you think about it, I mean, if it came to this point,
mm-hmm.
those who are left here, who are under that spell and part of can you hear that storm?
Yeah.
Part of that system.
That's Jehovah listening to you.
That's
you
know? Jehovah. He didn't like that, did
he's
he?
Dying on the sky there.
I'm going to get smote, Alan.
Oh, you'll be smitten.
Yeah? Now I lost my train of thought.
Yeah.
Shoot.
But that's what it's all about. You see, the whole thing is an esoteric tradition. It's down through the ages. The exoteric meets conformity for the elite to rule society.
Uh-huh.
But they always tie their esoteric traditions through it. But it's all written within there, if you understand it.
Well, I understand. I know that you've said that a jillion times.
Uh-huh.
Very few of us understand it. So it's really nice that you pick these parts,
mm-hmm.
and then help us understand what it means symbolically to them,
yeah.
or esoterically.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm going back in our conversation here for a minute,
mm-hmm. yeah.
where we were talking about there will be people who just won't be part of the system,
yeah.
and that they don't really care. They'll just make it very difficult not to be.
That's what
Anita Hogue said that to me one time.
Mm-hmm.
She said, they don't care, Jackie, if some people go live in caves and have their children natural childbirth with
yeah.
No medical, no dental, no, you know, just living like primitives again.
Yeah.
And think about Brave New World and think about 1984. In 1984, there were the proles.
Yeah.
And I maybe you could explain what the proles were, because it was different than the other society in Brave New World. Remember where
the proles and Orwell's were the common people, the people most spied upon in a controlled society are the enablers, the helpers,
yes.
of the top controllers. In other words, all the bureaucrats.
Because the proles didn't have those televisions in.
They were also pretty well uneducated too. They had no. They were entertained, no doubt, etc.
You know what blew me away about when I was reading about the proles? These two ladies, I think, out in the backyard hanging up their clothes.
Uh-huh.
I hang my clothes. I know, Alan, that's just my bed
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, and what's interesting...
But wait, listen. They were talking about how to pick the winning lottery number.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
This book was written in 1948.
Yeah.
And they had this lottery planned for us.
And you know why they had it planned? You see, the poor man... he watches all the fame and fortune going on in the movie industry and all this kind of stuff, or what he thinks are self-made people, and thinks that's what it is, the great delusion, because
mm-hmm.
no one gets up there into the big boys league unless they bring you up. So they give you the lotto. Now, you know why they call it the lotto?
No, say, tell us why.
Well, because the Pope who gave the Knights Templar their charter was called Lothar. In the Germanic French version, they call him Lothar. His real name was Lotario.
Lotario.
And the name of the lotto for Ontario is called Lotario.
Lotario.
Just coincidence, of course.
Okay. And what...
And of course, Ontario,
okay, well, but
the postal code is ONT, which is Order of New Templars.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, but going back to Lotto.
Yeah.
Okay, you said that the Pope handed out what to the Knights Templars?
The charter.
The, okay. But wasn't there some kind of a selective system? Seems to me I read about this somewhere, or maybe you were talking about it. Because the lotto today is a game of chance.
It is, yeah.
Well, how does...
And of course it's a scam, as everyone should
know. Okay, but how does that relate to his name? That's what I'm wanting to know. The gambling.
Gambling. Again, it goes back to the scam. It means it literally means a scam.
Okay, okay.
And the Knights Templars became the biggest bankers of Europe at the time, remember?
Uh-huh.
And a good part of the Middle East, too.
Uh-huh.
They became, in fact, they were the first real bankers, international bankers, who brought in a checking society. You could use checks with them, and they would give you notes instead of the gold, and you could cash them in one of their banks.
Yes, and they carried paper around in their pockets that that signified their wealth, yes?
That's right. Yeah, and of course, they were the only ones who would charge interest as well. So they really were the start of the modern banking industry.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't have to pay taxes as well, that's another thing.
Well, what about the money changers in the temple?
The temple
was the world bank at the time.
Yeah. They were left to take the heat while the Knights Templars gobbled up the lion's share.
I see.
And when you look at the old maps of Europe, you'd be surprised how much land they owned all over Europe. If they hadn't been stopped, they would have ended up owning Europe.
And who stopped them?
Well, it was the king, Philip in France.
Right.
He invited them up there, supposedly on the pretense for a loan. And the Grand Master, Molay, came up with a bunch of them and he imprisoned them.
And didn't he put out an edict that they had to disband them?
Well, the Pope eventually did put out an edict, because when they found out that this was this strange Christian knighthood... Remember, they were also a priesthood, first and foremost, and they were knights second. That's more important, really. And what came out, and had been coming out for a long time, was their strange practices. They were also connected with the old man of the mountain that was the head of the Hassassins, or Hashashins, they call them, of the Middle East, who'd been running that branch of the occult for a long, long time. They did become brotherhoods together.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you say that the Knights Templars were, what is the word, when they, like the nuns and the priests?
Oh, celibate, you mean?
Celibate. Did you say that they were celibate?
No, they didn't. They were sworn to relieve each other.
Well, fine, they were
sexual,
celibate. They were homosexuals then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what, yes.
Yes.
And that's where the term dog priest came in?
Oh, long before that.
Uh-huh.
They used the dog priest even in ancient Israel. You see that on their temple walls, where you turn right for the female as a prostitution and left for the male one. And they see the same in Greece too. They all had the same religion in ancient times. That's the big picture.
And today, to my mind, Alan, what's new?
Well,
the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Well, they came through.
Welcome back to So You Want to Go to Heaven, Frank.
Thanks, Roger.
If you get this final question right, you secure your place in heaven. If you get it wrong, well, we don't want to go there.
That's right.
Okay, to get to heaven, you must A, be really good,
uh-huh.
B, never do anything bad, C, go to church every Sunday, or D, put your faith and trust in Jesus.
Boy, I'd like to use one of my helplines. I'd like to use my 7525.
Okay, let's take away three of the answers, leaving D, put your faith and trust in Jesus.
That can't be right. I'd like to poll the game show host.
Very well, Frank. The answer is D, put your faith and trust in Jesus.
I'm going to have to go with A, be really good.
That's not even on the board.
But there has to be something more than just...